And welcome back to another episode of the Truth and Transparency Podcast with your host, Brother X, and the culture scientist isn't with us this week. She's with my future in-laws. Shout out to y'all. Mama scientist, daddy scientist in the building. I'll talk to y'all later. By the time y'all are hearing this, they would have already left, so we hope that they had safe travels back. But here on the Truth and Transparency Podcast, we talk about everything in between, why people can't get right, why people keep acting up in 2022. Yeah, man. So first and foremost, I got a question. So you guys are familiar with the Big Mac, right?
Sure is.
You sure? You sure? Because apparently, in these social media streets, it comes to find out that McDonald's is trying to create another abomination, which is the chicken Big Mac. Any thoughts?
Ew. I know we're going to disagree, but ill. Go ahead, teacher, bear.
You can buy the early mute.
I mean, I love their chicken sandwiches, so I would try it just without pickles.
That's what you're going to try? That would be the one thing keeping you from trying it is the pickles? Really? Really? Not the space bread that doesn't biodegrade?
I like the original.
That shredded up. They put that lettuce through like the paper shredder to get it that way, man. That shit ain't real lettuce. I'm sorry. Just no. Like, you don't put the mac sauce on the chicken. If you do, you got terrorist taste buds. I just figured I'd share that with y'all guys because it's kind of crazy in these streets. So let me go ahead and introduce our guest on today's episode. She's at the illustrious Tampa University right now. She got a step stool in the middle of Ogden Circle herself. Queen C, introduce yourself.
I'm going to give you that one. That was funny.
Thank you.
All right, listeners. It's your girl, Queen C, back again. 61 and a half inches of fluff and fun. And I do have to quote my vice president at the time of this recording just a few hours ago. We did it, Joe. We did it. Hey. We got at least 10,000 in forgiveness on student loans. And they paused till the new year.
Hey. You know the crazy part about that is? We still ain't paying them.
Right.
And she's back after getting the early mute. She probably got the fastest mute in podcast history. Someone who apparently got in my editor's ear talking about, yeah, the Lakers won in 2020. So, yeah. Teacher Bay, you got any thoughts?
Yeah. Hi, listeners. It's Teacher Bay.
Yes, that's Teacher Bay, everyone. Nah, I'm playing. I'm sorry. That was a little out of pocket. I'm sorry.
We were out of pocket.
Wow, this is how we treat the guests? Huh?
If I didn't insult you on the podcast, you wouldn't be a guest.
Oh, okay. I'll be quiet. Thanks.
But when he leave, you're going to be talking again.
You're right. Okay. Craig's long distance cousin, the only black character on Peanuts, the man with the satin durag himself, Mr. Smith.
First of all, this, you know what? Nope, I'm not doing this with you today. Screw that. I'm not doing this with you today. Respect to the black character that was on Peanuts. You was that nigga. Anywho, it's your favorite fan, Mr. Smith, also known as the Soundbite Poppy, also known as Mr.
Damn, son, where'd you find this?
And I want to thank all the listeners for the comments, the plays, the subscriptions. Keep feeding us and we'll keep feeding y'all. Just a couple of things this week. Number one, people, we understand that, you know, when you have kids, they are your world. And, you know, you want to be there for them at all times and you want to show them off.
True.
But when you recreate the Spider-Man kiss scene where, you know, she's kissing Spider-Man hanging upside down with your 6-year-old son on the lips.
What?
The fuck? No, absolutely not. Not happen. Mm-mm. Nope. Get it out of here.
It's questionable at best. It's questionable at best, honestly.
questionable is an understatement. That shit nasty.
Like I get what you was going for, but context clues. Tell me you really didn't watch that movie, but you really didn't watch that movie.
Yeah. I mean, you know, a couple weeks ago, we had the mama sucking the son off, and now we got, you know.
Must we bring that back up? Well, Mr. Smith, you know what to do.
Insert disclaimer.
Damn. Are we 10 minutes in yet? What the fuck?
Not even five.
Yeah, I'm about to say, we barely just hit five.
It's shit.
And then secondly, you know, it's getting real in these streets, you know what I'm saying? And you know, you got David, you got some other craziness, and then you got monkeypox. And monkeypox, listeners, as you know, you're not really supposed to be outside. Like, at least with COVID, you just had to really wear a mask and stay 6 feet. Monkeypox, you shouldn't be near anybody.
Nope.
But of course, that ain't stopped this gentleman from going to Mickey D's and getting a Sprite, you know, because shout out to Queen C, that Sprite is sharp as hell. And this is really what he had to say about it, which I'm still kind of cringing about.
What's good, y'all? My bad, I'm not in the house. I had to go make a McDonald's run because I ain't got no groceries. You know, I ain't had no food. But I just wanted to make this video to remind y'all to be careful who you fuck with. Because not everybody you fuck with is going to fuck with you. Not everybody you look out for is going to look out for you. Shit, you might show up for the wrong motherfucker at the wrong place at the wrong time and end up with the fucking monkeypox. And then who going to be there to look out for you? Nobody. So at the end of the day, just choose yourself.
Sir. Why? If you talking about look out for yourself, why are you endangering me at a McDonald's for a fucking Sprite? Why? Nigga, you look like an octopus has pretty much put his tentacles all over your body and just said, here, my child, take all that the light gives
pick
you.
Pick me. It's weird.
Brother X, go for it.
He looked like a fusion of Killmonger and M'Baku.
He looked like a Nestle Crunch bar.
Oh, that was disgusting. Even I got nothing. I'm good.
Good. I just had to put that out there.
Can I take back about the McDonald's chicken?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, that's what I was going to say.
You gonna get your
chicken mac. You go get you a side of monkeypox. Keep playing around.
Whole monkeypox.
No, it's gonna come right on the chicken.
You're gonna be like Pops off of Friday After Next. I take a Big Mac. Hold the flies.
Terrible. But yes. Before we go any further and get into Mr. Smith's Sports Center, I just got a question for our guests. Me and Mr. Smith, we have these discussions, we have these conversations, and I just need to know what our guests' thoughts, and maybe Mr. Smith, you can chime in as well. If there were ever to be a Royal Rumble between these two restaurants, which one is your money going on? You got, on the left side, you got the Breakfast Hibachi themselves, Waffle House, versus the line going down to the street for the chicken sandwich Popeyes. Who is winning in the fight?
Waffle House.
Any reason why?
Because I see them niggas fight in real life. That ain't what you want. They wear black Nikes to work.
Mr. Smith.
So originally I was going to go Waffle House, but there's a key word in here that's making me change my mind. And that is, it's a street fight. That means there's no rules. You can pick out whatever the hell you want. Waffle House got the hands. In a structured fight, I got Waffle House taking it. But if it's a street fight where I feel like Popeyes will pick up the whole goddamn fryer and throw it at you, I'm sorry, I got to go Popeyes on this one.
They might just beat you in the head with one of them hard ass biscuits.
Bruh. Yeah. Damn. That concussion. That concussion is gonna be serious.
Go have a knot the size of a fist on your fucking forehead fucking around with that biscuit.
It's gonna look like a cluster of monkeypox.
I'm done.
Teacher Bay.
Okay, yes. I feel like it depends on the area. Now, if we're just talking about Atlanta. I do think hands down, Waffle House is going to just take it regardless. But the key word, like you kind of said, is Popeyes. It's in the name.
Bang, 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 bang.
That means they coming out with guns, which the people have been shot literally over that chicken sandwich. And they popping your eyes out. I'm trying to tell you, don't sleep on Popeyes because they get real ratchet. Hey, so you might not come out alive. So I think I'm going to put my money on Popeyes. Especially, so, I'm just saying.
So here's my, to get us back on track. I've seen someone in Waffle House lose. I have yet to see someone lose a fight working for Popeyes. But listeners, you let us know. We'll probably have a poll up by the time this episode comes out. You let us know who you think is winning this fight. So with that being said, we're going to go ahead and play the copyrighted music. Mrs. Smith, take it away.
Oh, Lord. Okay, listeners, let me get myself together. Now, the teacher baiting got me crying. I was not prepared for that. Okay, so real quick. Number one, I'm going to go in order of least to most crazy. So we'll start with the MMA, in which the defending champion Usman lost to the contender Leon Edwards in the fifth round by a head kick. And listeners, I saw that kick. That was a flush head. That nigga knocked him the hell out. You know it's bad when Usman is laying on his back, sleep, with his eyes open. I was like, ooh, you want to see a dead body? Like, yeah, that's what I look like. But, you know, you got caught slipping. I feel like if they run it back, Usman going to whoop his ass within three rounds to get his title back. Going to the NCAA football, Nick Saban, a.k.a. Bill Belichick Jr. of the damn NCAA, he has signed an extension for to stay at Alabama. And listeners, I want you to keep in mind that this is college football, okay? College football. Saban is going to be making $11.7 million per year.
God damn.
Listeners, for those of you who are either in college right now, have gone to college, whatever, you know the struggle that you have when you got to make $5 work and you're just like, and I'm aging myself on this one, where you're like, you know what, that $5 right there, I can go to Dollar Menu, I can get two double cheeseburgers, a small fry, and a sweet tea, and I still got 80 cents left just in case, you know, they try to get me on some BS. Meanwhile, the coach at your school gets $11 million. That is insane. Now, is he deserving of it? Absolutely. Because, I mean, hell, Alabama's in the final, the championship four. I mean, the final four for the national championship damn near every season. So obviously he's deserving of the money, but it's just like, shit. Moving on to football. My Ravens were in the preseason against the Arizona Cardinals, in which Marquise Brown did an interview and said, well, the reason I left the Ravens is because I wanted to go to a team where I feel like I could contribute to win. I feel like if I left the Ravens, they would still be able to go on without me. To which, as an avid Ravens fan, I have to say, you goddamn right we can, Mr. I drop every freaking thing. Nigga, I will never forgive you for that Detroit Lions game where you dropped three sure touchdowns in one quarter. Two of them were back-to-back. So, miss me with all that. But,
great question.
Mm-hmm.
Is he Ted Ginn Jr.?
Ooh. No, because Ted Ginn at least was good in the kick return, the punt return. Marquise can't do that.
Fair enough. How's your boy Gus Edwards doing?
So, I'm not worried about Gus. And for those of you listeners that don't understand, Gus Edwards is our running back two behind J.K. Dobbins on the Ravens. And Gus was put on the physically unable to perform list to where he cannot suit up for the first four games of the season. Now, Gus has been recovering from a torn ACL. I think it's a torn ACL. And, you know, honestly, I would rather not rush him back because he is our goal line. We're on the five, and we need a bruiser back to go through. So if he needs a couple of games, I ain't too worried about it. I feel like the guy that we picked up from the Atlanta Falcons can do that part. He just cannot be a three-down back. So I'm not worried about Jake. I'm not worried about Gus.
Okay, and last question before I stop hijacking your segment. What type of name is Gus?
You know what? You asking the wrong questions. Questions that don't need answers.
I just need to know because that is an elderly name. Like, that is a church elder.
Yeah. Listen, church elder, mole belder, every felder. Raven's a foe. That's all I got to say about that.
Wow.
That's crazy. So the Ravens were whooping the Cardinals' asses 24-3 by the, I want to say, late third quarter. And all of a sudden, the Arizona Cardinals started storming back. And I'm looking at this going, are we really about to be 28-3 by the Arizona Cardinals? Are they really about to pull the Patriots? No, they didn't do it, listeners. We beat that ass and got them up out of there. So our current win streak for the preseason is now at 22 games. I think it's either 21 or 22. I can't remember. But preseason means nothing. We'll worry about the regular season. Also, Deshaun Watson, as I stated, listeners, last week, literally after we recorded it, it came out that he's now going to serve an 11-game suspension and be fined $5 million. So during a preseason game, one of the fans, a Cleveland Brown fan and his son, had a sign that says, quote, fuck them hoes, free Watson.
What in the fuck was that?
Now, there are so many issues with this. One, sir, your son is standing next to you. What image, what lesson are you drilling into this little boy's head? Two, dude, it's sexual assault. What the hell? And three, you do realize you about to get roasted on social media. That picture can never come down. So do not go behind the scenes and go, we didn't know what we were doing. And, we learned from our lesson. No, stall us with all that. But I'm going to get back to that procedure later on. And then finally, we're going to get to the NBA. So, number one, Chet Holmgren, it came out that he might have torn ligaments in his foot from a pro amateur game that he played in with LeBron James. And there was one more superstar. I can't remember the guy's name right now. It'll come back to me.
Paolo?
No. Oh, no. DeJounte. DeJounte was there. Chet had slipped on something because the gym was so packed that the AC wasn't working and the condensation was dripping on the floor. So like players were slipping all over the place, in which they had to call the game early within like the second quarter, but it was for the player's safety. But Chet Holmgren is going to go for a second opinion and we're going to see how long he's out while he gets his foot surgery placed, which sucks because he's the number two overall pick in this year's draft. And he already might have to miss time because of a pro amateur game, but you know, that's what happens.
I mean, they're going to be in the lottery again anyway.
This is very true. But considering the fact that that team has so many goddamn first-round picks over the course of the next, like, 3 or 4 years, they'd be all right. Going to Kobe Bryant, first of all, at the time of this recording, happy heavenly birthday to the late Kobe Bryant. He would have turned 44 this year. And his wife, Vanessa Bryant, had just won a lawsuit against the police department that had the photos of the crash site and was sharing it for folk for what they said was, I guess, a laugh or however they described it. She has now won $16 million in that lawsuit of the crash photos of her departed husband. So I'm glad that she was able to get some restitution, because that's some fucked up shit. I'm going to end on a funny note and then a wow note. Brother X, I'll let you decide. Which one would you like first, the funny or the wow?
Let's start with the wow.
Okay. So for the wow, it's come out that Kevin Durant has met with the GM, the head coach, and the owner in LA, and came to the decision that he is going to remain in Brooklyn. Now, listeners, just as a recap, this is the same guy that a couple months ago was like, yeah, I need a trade. I'm getting out of here. And everybody was speculating like, okay, what's going to happen? Like, this is like probably the number two or three best player in the league, you know, hands down. And if you remember, I think a couple episodes ago, Rudy Gobert, who is like a defensive player of the year multiple times, but, you know, he's a liability on offense. I think it was the Minnesota Timberwolves that offered up like 4 first round picks and 2 players for him, when that's like the type of haul you want for Kevin Durant. So nobody was going to be able to offer that. Well, because of that, now Kyrie is probably going to have to stay in Brooklyn, because the only way Brooklyn was going to trade Kyrie was if Kevin Durant was to be traded. But if Kevin Durant stays, then they're not going to trade Kyrie. So I say that to say, me and Teacher Bay's Lakers, if you're listening, I need you to hear me out. Let go of Kyrie for this year. Let him go ahead and finish with Brooklyn. He's going to come to y'all free agency. Ship off Russell Westbrook in a first-round pick for Malcolm Brogdon and Buddy Hill. Please and thank you.
I'm going to stop you right there. Malcolm Brogdon isn't with the Pacers anymore. He's with Boston.
Like I said, 3-team trade. Malcolm Brogdon and Buddy Hill.
You want the Celtics to trade with the Lakers.
I know.
That's like the Bloods and the Crips trading members.
And I mean, I'm just...
I did not co-sign on them.
That's fine.
I don't have no Celtics blood in
me. But you want Buddy Hill, do you not? You want a 3-point... Which one would you rather have? Buddy Hill, who's a legit 3-point shooter, or Russell Westbrook?
I believe purple and gold.
Anywho. All right. And then lastly, the funny. So, me and Teacher Bay decided last Friday, you know what? We're going to go out. We're going to have a night out. We're going to get a couple of drinks. We're sitting there, listening to some music. Shout out to DJ Marvelous, alumni of the illustrious Hampton University of Standard of Excellence. Hey,
talk about it.
And in the midst of, you know, me and Teacher Bay talking about something, I just happened to turn my head to the right, and listeners, Dennis Rodman walks in.
Say what?
Say what?
Say what?
Say what?
Say
what?
Say what? God.
And I looked at Teacher Bay and said, nigga, is that Dennis Rodman? Teacher Bay looks up and goes, I think so. We look back, look at each other, look back, look at each other, and then we said, nigga, that's Dennis Rodman. What the fuck is he doing in DC? And then all of a sudden, it's like a wave of everybody just figuring it out. Everybody was just like, it's Dennis Rodman, it's Dennis Rodman, it's Dennis Rodman. And of course, you know, and I'm not disrespectful, but it is what it is. The IG hoes was running. And Teacher Bay can back me up on this. They was running to get a picture with Dennis Rodman. Dennis Rodman could have took down 5 of them that at that moment if he wanted to. But it was kind of cool to see that. And then come to find out, this man is getting ready to fly to Russia to try to free Brittany Griner. And we're like, what kind of story can we tell where on Friday, Dennis Rodman was throwing $2,000 in Ozio's? And for the record, listeners, Ozio's is not a strip club. It's a regular lounge. This man gave out $1,000 to one person and then $1,000 to me. And then said, I want you to throw this. And I looked at Teacher Bay like, is this really happening? And Teacher Bay said, nigga, throw it. And I threw it. And I said, Dennis Rodman just gave me $1,000 to throw. What the hell is happening right now? Yeah, that was one lucky night with the homies.
Can I tell the listeners, I really didn't want you to throw it. But I mean, I felt like he was eyeing us.
Ain't no, you felt. He was eyeing us.
I told you in the group chat, it was Daniel Kaluuya from that Bob movie. Just staring at you like, you gonna throw it? Or you gonna throw it?
But can we talk about those Instagram hoes that was stomping on the dollars?
We gonna say
they was trying to sneak it in, and there was one that wasn't even embarrassed. She was just
right. Oh yeah, she ran over and must have picked up at least $100. And I mean, she wasn't even subtle about it. That was crazy. But
she's not put it toward her BBL.
Anywho,
wow.
That's it for Mrs. Smith Sports Center. I'm done.
Cue the other music. All right, with the Coach Scientist not joining us this week, we do not have anything streaming, but run up all those numbers, check out the different things. Actually, you know what? Funny, she's not here to stop me. Brother X streaming. This week, we're going to go ahead and tell you guys to check out, I don't know if I've already shared the show before, but if you haven't, I need you to go down to Chuckalisa, Mississippi, and I need you to go visit the Pank at P-Valley. It's a show that's talking about strippers, love, drugs, violence, all the stuff that you couldn't watch as a kid. So check out P-Valley on Starz Network. Or on your broken fire stick. So, Mr. Smith, you ready?
Sure.
All right. So we're actually going to run into our next segment, which is Now Mind You. Now Mind You is a segment of the podcast where we talk about things with using the Black vernacular that actually will let you know about a key or vital important point about a story. So first and foremost, kind of sticking in the sports realm just a little bit, there was a very interesting and a why is this even happening? So let me give you a little bit of background information. There's this little league baseball team that's in, it was in Pennsylvania, correct?
Yes, they were in, they were in Pennsylvania for the game, but I believe the team is from Iowa.
Yeah, so they're in there to observe the team and whatnot, and they're chilling there, and it just happened to be, commentators from Baseball Tonight. And basically they were just kind of talking about things they saw in the stands, and they happened to pan over to a certain scene. Mr. Smith, can you play the clip?
It's just little leaguers being little leaguers right there. Hey, next week's Sunday night baseball matchup should be a good one. Atlanta and St. Louis. Cardinals leading the Central. They finish up that three-game series at Busch, 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific, ESPN, Deportes, and Radio. And we'll start with 6 Eastern baseball tonight's Sunday night countdown. Why not, right? When in Rome... Are they taking the stuffing out of a stuffed animal? Is that how that's...
Cue my music. Where the fuck was... Where was his parents? Where was his teammates? Where was the coach? Where was Don Lemon doing a CNN special? Why, listeners... Were they putting cotton from a stuffed animal in this little Black boy's head and trying to make him look like it's a cotton field on his head? It don't make sense. So, you know, listeners, to give it the benefit of the doubt, to make sure that we on the right track and we do our research, we actually looked up a little bit of background information on it. So I'm going to read a little bit for you guys so you guys get a little bit more information. Then I'll get opened up to our guests. So during the ESPN broadcast of Sunday's Little League Classic game between the Boston Red Sox and the Baltimore Orioles, Davenport Southeast teammates could be seen putting stuffing from the stuffed animals given away at the game onto a Black player's head. First strike, why are you doing that? Additionally, images of the Black player with a cotton-like material stuck to his head and an unamused facial expression circulated online following the broadcast, even catching the attention of celebrities like stand-up comedian Leslie Jones on Twitter. Many voiced their criticism and said that the incident appeared to be racially insensitive. Duh. However, the team said that there was absolutely no ill intent or racial motivations to the children's behavior. Of course you would say that. Southeast Little League made a statement via Facebook Tuesday afternoon to address the concern. During the recent broadcast of the MLB Little League Classic, ESPN showed several kids from our team putting stuffing from a stuffed owl given away at the game on our second baseman, I won't say his name to protect the youth's head. The kids were doing this in an attempt to emulate the white mohawk of the Hawaiian team's star player, who they think is a great baseball player with a very cool hairstyle. So you were trying to teach them to appropriate someone else's. Okay. All right. I'm just going to leave that there. Unfortunately, the cameras did not show the boys putting the stuff on the head of multiple players and of the kid in particular laughing and loving his new look. We have also posted a picture and video showing this. There was absolutely so basically kind of go on explaining there's no ill intent. Talking about it's supposed to be a great experience for them to be able to see all these teams and yada, yada. But again, I go back to my first question. Where is the coach in this? Who is like the team manager? Who's the assistant coach? Like you're letting this happen. And my question is, how are you going to explain that to his black mama? How are you going to explain it to his daddy? And did they really believe that bullshit excuse? Because that sounds like something you thought up in the lab so you don't get your team canceled. Or you don't get somebody fired. That's what it really sounds like. Guess you have any thoughts? Quincy?
Yeah. So one, they claim they were emulating the mohawk of one of the players on the field, correct?
Correct.
So then wouldn't it just be a stripe of cotton ball down his head instead of all over, like a 17th century wig?
Well, my man looking like a black Beethoven.
Like,
call that boy Zaytoven Jr.
Oh my God. I hate you so much.
I gotta bring some levity to the story. I'm sorry.
Okay. So that's one. Two, they made sure to put one of his little black teammates in the front as an accomplice in this shit. I don't appreciate that. And third, could the announcer run little leaguers together anymore to make it more, you know, racialized? Like, if you didn't listen to that real good, you could have swore he said little niggers. And I will leave it at that because I was just like, it's too much.
Before I let Teacher Bear go, here's a plot twist. Me and Mrs. Smith did some video analysis. The one dude that was on here, the black child's right side that was like near the front, we both thought he was black at first. Plot twist, he is white.
Oh, well then I'm definitely upset.
But we'll get back to it. Teacher Bear, go ahead.
Yes. So I agree with Queen C with what you said, but they also said a white mohawk. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But when I look at it, the color of the star they're trying to emulate, that's blonde. Mm-hmm. Last time I checked, cotton is white. That's not the same color. So that is offensive. And then all I'm going to say is, couldn't the white boys do the same thing with hair gel or some mousse? They got hair. That's how they do the mohawks in the first place, like the rock stars and stuff. So
I mean, if they could figure out how to lock their hair up, they could figure out how to put cotton in it.
We're not going
to
talk about that abomination.
That's all I'm trying to say.
We are not about to talk about that abomination. I'm sorry.
I say I agree.
No. We're going to talk about this abomination. I need camera two on me. White people, stop trying to have locks. Please. It's for black people only. I'm sorry. Continue.
Yeah, y'all pretty much said everything I need to say. Like you said, first of all, I thought they said little niggers too. I was like, wait, whoa, whoa, whoa. But overall, it just kind of says exactly what the hell we were talking about. Like, this needs to be taught from a younger age, right? And if you wanted to emulate the star pitcher, right? There was a kid if you are looking at the video, he's to the left of the black child that's sitting, that has almost a better skin tone, closer to the person that they were trying to emulate. So why wouldn't you put the cotton on him and not Black Child? And then again, this is exactly what I talked about with Skip Bayless and Bronny. You do not want to see Savannah with them hands. This Black Mama. Mama, we need to see you because we know, like, I'm sorry. If that's my child, I'm swinging for jugulars. Like, I'm going for the neck. I'm like, what we not finna do is you not about to have my child look like Cotton Picking George on national TV. Just no. And then you have him surrounded by nothing but white players. And, you know, you're going to, as I stated before earlier, listeners, the whole procedure. Oh, there was no ill intent. Oh, they didn't know what they were talking about. Oh, this is a learning lesson. We're going to move forward and try to teach this so that everyone can learn from this. And boys will be boys. And every single whatever we've heard for the last how many years, it's getting old. Just stop. Stop.
Stop it. Get some help.
Exactly. Quincy, real quick.
I'm just going to say real quick that this is the shit that happens when you don't teach critical race theories in school.
I was going to say that, but I was like, I'm going to let him slide. But I guess you just had to get the blicky, huh?
I'm about to say, we here. Yeah, that's just crazy. We'll probably provide an update if there's any more information. But speaking of actual updates, Mr. Smith, do you have this one?
I sure do. So listeners, you know, I want to say it must have been about maybe 2 years ago. Yeah. About 2.5 years ago, the horrible case of Breonna Taylor, the young Black woman who was killed in a botched raid of her apartment. And, you know, everybody was kind of like, yo, what's like, this is wrong on so many levels. Like, she did nothing to deserve this. You have nothing on the boyfriend. You keep trying to manipulate it to make it seem like he's the reason that she's dead, blah, blah, whatever. Well, it turns out, listeners, which of course, like white people, insert Emmett Till and the lady who admitted on her memoirs that she lied, but we ain't gonna go there. It's another story for another day. Kelly Goodlett, the former detective, admits to misleading the judge who approved the Breonna Taylor raid. So a former police detective admitted on Tuesday that she had helped mislead a judge into wrongfully authorizing a raid of Breonna Taylor's apartment in Louisville, Kentucky, setting in motion a nighttime operation in which the police fatally shot Ms. Taylor. The former detective, Kelly Goodlett, pleaded guilty in federal court to one count of conspiracy, admitting that she had worked with another officer to falsify a search warrant application and had later lied to cover up their act. I'm going to repeat that again because I want to make sure y'all understand that part. She worked with another officer, someone who was sworn to uphold the law, to falsify, that means lie, a search warrant application, and then lied again to cover up their act because they know they were wrong. And this, remember, that they were trying to search for drug dealing of Breonna Taylor's boyfriend. But the problem is there was really not enough evidence to support approving the warrant. But of course, not all police lie, listeners. There are definitely some good cops. We're not saying that, but we're also saying it is a rotten pool. And a lot of people are, I would say, generated from said pool. And to that, I have to say, y'all some assholes. Like, as a Black person, and I hate to go that route, but I have to because, you know, we live this life all day, every day, all year. You can't even fall asleep in your apartment that you paid for without worrying about these people going to come in and kill you. You can't run and be Black. You can't. There was a video I saw the other day of a pastor watering plants from another house. And someone called the police on him. And he's like, I'm just watering the plants. To where a white person had to come out and say, no, he lives over in this area. He always does that. He picks he'll pick a house and, you know, make sure the plants are watered for the people there. Like, he's fine. But of course, they're giving him a whole bunch of BS because, well, listeners, he's black. And so I say all that to say, I don't have a sympathy for any officers or whoever. And I feel like it should be more than just, you know, a couple of, what is it? She's going to get probably a couple years, if that, maybe. And it's like, that's not cool. Like, you get 1 year and all of a sudden it's, all right, well, you know, you plead, so you're good. But Miss Taylor can't get her life back. Just always remember that. Back to you, Brother X.
Yeah, honestly, man, it's just I'm tired of like bullshit. Whether it was the DA and his bullshit, or these officers and their bullshit, and everybody trying to absolve themselves or trying to get out from under this. It's like, dog, I hope you never find peace. I hope you have restless night and long days. I hope they spit in your food. And you find thumbtacks in all of your napkins. I don't care about you. Because it's just terrible what you do. Someone lost their life because of your inability to do your job. But we're not surprised by this in the least. So I just hope you don't find peace. That God's going to work on me on that. But I hope you never find peace. Now, what we are going to talk about on a more lighter note. Talk about slippery slope. Mr. Smith, let's go to one of our favorite places, Detroit. Take it away.
Popular giant slide near Detroit is closing due to safety concerns from parents. Look at how tall this slide is. The huge 6-lane slide reopened briefly on Friday, only to be closed again. Now, one parent says the fun turned into fear for his kids as the speed became an issue.
Oh, I told you keep your hands off the slide. Yeah, that's it. We good on that.
What I noticed was the impact that they was hitting the ground with coming off of the hill.
I was going down way faster than I thought I was. Gravity hurts.
Oh, yikes. So there were staff members at the top and bottom giving instructions, but Michigan's Department of Natural Resources, which runs the slide, says it will retouch the wax on the slide to control the speed. The slide will then be closed until they can do that. Oh, I don't know about that. Yikes.
This reminds me of like going to a fair as a kid in the 80s and 90s, and they're just like, well, good luck.
Right. Well, and then if you're not sitting, oh my goodness, they're being launched into the air.
They're getting, I mean, that's legit dangerous.
Oh. I'm with that, Dan. We're good on that.
Yeah. I mean, it looked fun, don't get me wrong, but...
Not for me. I'm not a good, not a big fan of too fast and that high up. No, thank you.
Yeah, and with little kids, I guess, as well, but.
Yeah, so I'm listening to that slide. If you haven't seen the video yet, that thing's probably about yay high and yay tall. Just, it's crazy. And they just flying down there like they trying to get down to the Piggly Wiggly for the daily special. So I don't know what's going on, but Mrs. Smith, did that slide always used to look that way?
No. So listeners, the slide had been open for a while. It was open back in the 90s, like about 94. And instead of it having that metal with the oil slick, it was actually yellow. And I guess must have had a different type of fabric. But it kind of gave you a more gentler giant slide where, you know, you can actually enjoy it versus you flying down and pretty much flying off the different, you know, hills and dips. And crashing into the bottom of the damn slide. I'm sorry, I gotta get the two jokes off and really, like, I know all of y'all, I saw all y'all's faces and y'all thought the same thing. Number one, the little boy saying gravity hurts. That was freaking hilarious.
Phenomenal. Talk to you.
He's just like, I should probably not do that again. But number two, listeners, in the news clip, it is a black woman that's a news anchor along with a white, maybe Asian woman and a white guy. You know how we always talk about the fact that black people can code switch at a drop of a dime? If you listen real closely, you can hear all of them, you know, going to ha, well, you know, it's kids will be kids or whatever. If you listen real close, a black woman let her blackness slip out just a little bit where she said, oh no, we good on that. Like she let that thing slide out so quick, pun intended. But I just have to say, The slide looks fun, but bruh, they were flying down that thing. And I'm just talking about them. That's Concussion City. Like that, there's no way around that.
Oh yeah. No, you getting a third degree burn going down that slide. You might go to the upper room. Quincy?
Yeah, I definitely heard the reporter where she said, we good on that. I was like, oh, she let the black slip out just a little bit. But the other thing, like watching this video and see how high they get in the air off these dips. Y'all remember the intro to the Dukes of Hazzards and they had the car coming off the hit? That's exactly what the fuck they look like going down that slide. Just coming, just getting air.
Oh my God. No, that just, it looks like a lot. Like, I genuinely, like, would I go down the slide? Yes. Will I have a full suit of padding on? Yes. Will I be suing if I get hurt? Yes. Well, have I already signed the disclaimer saying that you cannot sue us? Yes. I will do it anyway. But, nah, I just think it's very interesting, man. It's a pretty cool slide. Mr. Smith.
Two things. One, I love the fact that the kids are just kind of like, screw it. If we hurt, we hurt. We can go ahead and, you know, kid immortality, they can recover faster. But number two, shout out to a little black boy. When he got at the bottom of the slide, homeboy hit an anime pose. And I was just like, I see you, little black boy. I see you. Go ahead, be different. I appreciate it. We respect that. Keep having your joy, boy. We respect that.
Like, dog, dog, that is something. Y'all letting y'all future kids on that slide?
Hell no.
Absolutely not.
Yes, I am. Take your helmet and your knee pad and your elbow pad and get out of there.
You might as well put them
in the helmet. You don't have a helmet. Right. You keep playing.
Listen, you might as well put them in a sumo suit at that point.
You'll be all right. You know, they say we don't want them to be too soft. Get on out there.
So that's
going to be concussed.
I'm about to say. So instead of you wanting to not him or her to not be soft, you want them to be scrambled eggs. That's what you want.
Like scrambled hard with cheese.
We can bring some mattresses, put them at the edge of the slide.
What the hell? What the hell the mattress going to do halfway down the slide?
I mean, it looked like that foam that they had.
Ma'am.
We'll think about it.
Okay.
Ma'am, you better not. My future child gonna be on the side. I'm like, I knew him well. Not well. Back to my switch. Do-do-do-do-do-do. All right. And one last story for you guys. Found this very interesting. So things that are on my top five list of scariest things that happen while on a flight. This is probably top three. So listeners, I need you to know this story. This is pretty crazy. So Ethiopian Airlines pilots, plural, fall asleep mid-flight and miss runway. So it is believed that two pilots fell asleep and overshot their landing on an Ethiopian airline flight from Khartoum, Sudan. I apologize if I said it. How I said it. Addis Ababa in Ethiopia last week. Aviation Herald reports that air traffic control made several unsuccessful attempts to reach the crew and said, instead of beginning its descent for landing, the aircraft maintained its cruising altitude at 37,000 feet. Once the plane passed the runway, the autopilot was disconnected and an alarm was triggered, waking the pilots up. Wow, that is one hell of a alarm clock. The Boeing 737-800 made a safe landing about 25 minutes later. The aircraft was grounded for about 2.5 hours before it continued to its next destination. Ethiopian Airlines acknowledged that the mishap in a statement released on Friday. According to the airline, the affected crew was removed from operation and an investigation is pending. And appropriate corrective actions will be taken based on the outcome of the investigation. Safety has always been and will continue to be our first priority, the airline wrote. The incident continues amid growing concerns about widespread pilot fatigue. Pilot fatigue is nothing new and continues to pose one of the most significant threats to air safety internationally. Teacher
Bay,
you got any initial thoughts?
Yes, I do, because I caught that. Pilots.
Yes.
Now, you sitting there with a co-pilot. I'm all for you need to get your rest. But can we take turns? And shifts, we shouldn't both be sleeping at the same time. That's my issue.
You shouldn't be sleeping, period. No, I get it. I know you tired, but no. There are certain jobs you cannot be at the sleep at the wheel for. Queen C.
One, appreciate the pun. Two, I'm with Teacher Bay because they said pilots, both of them fell asleep. I just got one question. What the fuck was y'all sipping on?
Sipping on that yak.
They had some Ray and Nephew in there or something.
Oh, God. Mm-mm. They going to be in comatose. They drink Ray and Nephews.
That's what I'm saying.
Mr. Smith.
Okay. I agreed with everything that y'all said, and I got to get this joke off. When you said that the Ethiopian Airlines flight was to Khartoum, Sudan, to Addis Ababa, the first thing that I thought of was Aladdin. Prince Ali, Ali,
a nigga. I have been out, nigga, and I shall never be out, nigga, again.
I ain't gonna lie, Mr. Smith. I thought about it too, but I wasn't gonna say it because I still want to know what they were sipping on.
We all were thinking,
or what they were smoking on.
Never know.
Oh, they had that good cushion alcohol.
No, they was cross-faded on play.
Bitches, I could call.
They were cross-faded on the cross flight.
Aha!
But yeah, man, that's just some stories that we found interesting, man. It's crazy out in these streets. Now, we're actually going to go into our next segment, which is our Black Business Highlight. And our Black Business Highlight is we take some time out of our day to highlight Black businesses that we find interesting that you might be interested in and want to check out. So this week's Black Business Highlight is Athena's Alliance. It is a Black woman-owned gaming group that's actually located out of Charlotte, North Carolina. They are a group that like to have, it is an all-female run gaming organization with a collective of women gamers and allies. We provide services for content creation, public and virtual events, marketing, consulting, live streams, tournaments, game nights, community outreach, convention appearances, and charity drives. That's a lot. They're doing the Lord's work out here, man. So they are just, they like to call themselves the home of the gaming goddesses. So again, that is Athena Alliance. You can always check them out at www.athenaallianceclt.com. You can always email them for more information at info@athenaallianceclt.com. And then you can follow them on all social media at AthenaCLT. I think it's capital CLT for the social media. So if you're interested in gaming or you're trying to get into that in that sphere, which is really dope, love Black gamers, love Black women gamers on top of that. They are some of the best content creators that I watch and enjoy on a daily basis. So definitely check them out and support them. And tell them that we sent you. I don't know what it's going to do. We ain't got a discount, but we always taking donations. All right. So we're going to go ahead and get into this week's topic. We talked last week about the first weekend or the first week or so at a HBCU. And what was that like last week? So we want to kind of further that discussion and actually get into the first semester. Now, listeners, for those who don't know, the first semester at HBCU, it's a lot of things. It is a spiritual awakening. It is your whole phase. It is a Super Bowl. It is your probate, all mixed into one. There's a lot of things that happen in your first semester on HBCU campus. So we're going to kind of take it through a couple of different avenues. Going to talk about how do we, as all members who have attended at least a semester of the illustrious Hampton University, just got to let them know, how do we adjust the campus life? Because it's always different because every HBCU campus isn't built the same. I mean, you got some that got dog parks in the middle of it, but we're not talking about them right now. Oh yeah. No, I always got the burner on me for them. I hope they never find peace and they never pick up that you know what in the dog park. All right, so let's open this up. What are some things that you had to figure out your first semester on HBCU campus, Mr. Smith?
Okay, one, you choosing a lot of violence over there. I appreciate it. Two, okay, so one of the things that I adjusted to in I'm sure everybody on this podcast, and even those that are at HBCUs can attest to this. An 8 a.m. class at a high school is way different from an 8 a.m. class in college.
Message. My nigga, preach.
And so you know, when you're in high school, at least for me, I know my high school started at 7:35 a.m. Monday through Friday, and we were out of school by 2:15. So obviously, you know, we wake up, whatever. But when you're on a college campus, you don't got no, you don't, your rules are, I would say, you don't have a lot of rules. You waking up at 8 o'clock class is it's a lot harder than it seems. So that was just definitely one thing. And then one of the other things was that cafeteria food will save your ass on so many different occasions.
Hey, it ain't great, but it'll fill your stomach.
And you got to make sure you get in good with the right server. I'm going to say it again, listeners. Mm-hmm. If you're going in, find that one. There's always that one server that'll hook you up with a little bit. Shout out to her. May she rest in peace from Hampton University. But all the people on this podcast and all those that went to Hampton know, when you went to the Big Calf at breakfast time, you would always hear her say, "Good morning, baby, what you having?" And if you said pancakes, eggs, bacon, she would add a little bit extra bacon. But okay, you need this to get through the day. It's like your grandma just giving you that plate and you just like, you feel that love, that connection.
That's real. I'll say another thing. If you have a roommate your freshman year, please have a working relationship with them. Doesn't have to be a friendship. Just make sure you have a working relationship with them. Y'all have an understanding of who's on what side, who has what is your class schedule like, and who's gonna be up in the room. Because the last thing you need to do is to pull up to your room and you see like 20 niggas in your room. With your stuff there. And I'll leave it at that. Quincy, you got anything to add on?
Yeah, so I learned a lot my very first semester at Hampton. Rule number one, every HBCU has some version of a Friday midday turn up. At Hampton, we have a 12 to 2 in the student center. It's normally, you know, friends, some socializing, somebody on the DJ table playing music. Do not schedule classes during that time. Your ass will be upset because professors don't give a fuck. That's number one. Number two, yes, it is a school. You are there to learn. But once you have done your academics, please socialize, go out and meet people, have fun, experience things, join different groups. Even if you don't stay in those groups or those organizations, just experience things. It's your first time really away from home. Have fun with it.
Yeah, no, I would say, I mean, it's almost like you could join a certain organization that was a pep squad to support the athletic events at your university. I believe their name was maybe like Blue Lightning or
something like the Blue Lightning Pirate Maniac Pep Squad.
I mean, it sounded like a tribe called Quest because it had so many names. You had this dude
who was
just Lightning Shuffle. He was just SpongeBobbing it out there. I don't know. Maybe you check out the student leaders. You meet your big brothers that you only meet for like once and you never see them again.
You know, maybe you get banned from a volleyball game or, you know, cause your team a tech in the women's basketball game.
It has been redacted. We don't talk about that. We weren't allowed in there for a while then. We're not going to talk about that.
Shout out to that person. They know who they are.
Yes. But I guess another part of just adjusting is learning the best route to your classes and where you need to get to on campus. Especially if you're on a large HBCU campus like a certain university down here in North Carolina. Yo, you got to know where you're going and how long it takes because when there are some professors that will close the door and lock it, they don't play about that. Or if you oversleep or you don't make it, yeah, you ass out of luck. You miss 2-3 classes, you get dropped, which is still crazy. Teacher Bay?
Yeah, that was a good one because that definitely happened to me. Getting up, taking that aerobics class and I'm booking it to Holland. But anyway.
Out to Holland.
Trying to adjust the campus life, you definitely have to make sure that you find the connects for like where's the best places to kind of get your hair done or find the transportation to go get your laundry done. If you wanted to go elsewhere, how you could get down to the nearest Walmart, you want to definitely make sure you had that in order.
I just want to make sure to state for the record, for us, you had to make sure you defined, I need to go to Walmart. You want to go to Black Walmart?
Right.
Or you want to go to White Walmart?
Dog.
That was the term. Totally.
Mercury that Boulevard? Oh, no. You're going to see everything. You're going to see everything under the sun.
No, no, no. True story, listeners. I had somebody ask me to go to Black Walmart, and I was just about to take them, and then I realized, oh, no, that's the first of the month. Oh, hell no. No.
The hair products I need are at the Black Walmart.
Right, but you got to go on like the third or the fourth. The first?
Especially if it's on a Friday or a weekend? No, you can't. You're going to see everything under the sun. I guess some other things, I guess, some of the adjusting. Find out, look at the student activities. Find out wherever your student activities is. Find out what the events are going on. Because I know at our HBCU, we had damn near almost every week, it was an organization's week. So I was trying to find out about that. Just hang out at those events. Even if you're not interested, just hang out there because you're going to see so many different people. The fact that my friends here can say, Brother X, you know damn near everybody. Well, I was around damn near everybody, even though I don't believe I know everybody on campus. But we're not going to get into that. We're going to say that for another episode. I said everybody.
I'm going to make a clarifying statement for you. He may not know everybody, but everybody damn sure know him.
I can't help that. I just be around. I just show up. I'm just a guy. But honestly, just get used to those things. Oh, let's talk about this. And we're going to go into this. Do not, for those who are interested in Greek or Divine Nine or any other organization, do not outwardly express your interest for organization in a very obnoxious and very blatant and obvious way.
Unless say it again. You are, say it again.
Express your interest in a Divine Nine or other organizations in a blatant and obvious way. It will not end well for you. You're going to end up like that Q girl in that one video we talked about the other day. If you know, you know. All right, Queen C, go ahead.
To piggyback off what you just said, if you make it to the process of said organization you're interested in, and you
hold on real quick. Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity Incorporated is a non-hazing organization. Just got to put that out there.
On top of that, Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated is also a non-hazing organization, and I thank you. But however, if you happen to make it to the process and need to drop line for whatever reason,
decide not to complete the process,
whatever your reasoning is for dropping that line, do not say what the process is.
He's on fire.
Let's just say my freshman year, somebody got outed in the school newspaper and had to leave campus in the shade of night because there were a lot of angry people looking for him. We're not going to say the name nor the organization. We protect the innocent. My brothers may not, though.
But we choose violence on this podcast. May I cue it up for you?
Sure.
JJ. Ernest, take it away.
Yes, listeners. Actually, technically, the statute of limitations is gone, and I'm not really going to say a lot about it. But I'm not going to say the organization, obviously. But I was interested in joining said organization. Me and a couple of my close brothers, I would say, we're doing some preliminary research, we should say. And in the midst of it, we find out that said organization decides not to have a line that year because of said individual for said thing that he did. And we were just like, so do we kill him now? Or do we paralyze him and kill him later?
Oh shit! Oh,
and
shit.
Listeners, the story with that, which is really quick, as Queen C said, he had to leave in the dead of night. The reason for that is because after the situation happened, he decided to walk in the student center during said 12 to 2. Well, what he didn't realize is how can I say this?
Everybody from that organization was there. Somebody called his ass out.
That's a good way to put it, because I didn't want to name, you know, you know the person I was getting ready to say. I was like, I don't want to put him out there. But pretty much the music stopped. Everybody from the organization turned their head and looked at him. He looked at them. You would have thought it was the Kendrick Lamar video from M95, but that nigga is booking it away from all of them gangbangers.
He turned into a track star.
Yes, he's a runner. He's a track star. Listeners, this is how bad it got. I was in class because, you know, finance 304, I couldn't get out of it because that was the only time it was offered. And I got the text that said, JJ's in the student center. Listeners, I left class to try to find this man. That's how pissed off I was. I left class and went to go find him. I couldn't find him. He left. Mm.
Duh. There are so many things. But, you know, we would be remiss. I know we talked about it a little bit, but story time. So, my freshman year, one thing about my freshman class, we had no couth. We didn't know how to act. Let's just say.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, they. No, we didn't. Whether it was panty raids, whether it was dorm wars, whether it was getting off a curfew and then getting put right back on curfew the next night.
Getting caught in a closet of the opposite sex dorm and jumping out a second story window.
Ain't you jumper girl?
Yeah.
That was interesting. All right. Just know that we didn't have any coops. So let's just say we had, I guess it's a theme, and it wasn't just in the fall, but it was also in the spring. We had a bad habit of getting certain events basically shut down and like never see the light of day again. Shout out to Insomnia, RIP. Probably the greatest thing that was ever created for Hampton as a party slash event. It had DJs, it had dancing, it had video games, it had movies, it had food, it had other things that grown folks do on a college campus. And it went from, I think it was like 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. the next day. Sorry, 4 p.m. to 4 a.m.? God. Well, the reason, listeners, I don't know, remember that exact time was because we didn't make it past 1 o'clock in the morning. Because niggas go nigga, and our class could not stop getting into fights. We couldn't stop sneaking into places we're not supposed to be at. Shout out to S&T, you know what it is. All right. Or it was dorms. Just know, it was just wild. So if you are on a campus that has curfew or has certain events that are like really big and people, it's very enjoyable, stop fighting. It's not that deep. Let it go. If you got to do it off campus. Just don't do it on campus. Don't ruin the fun for everybody else. Because all I was trying to do was get twerked on by this Jamaican girl and y'all wouldn't let me live.
Emotional damage.
I am upset. This could have happened, but it didn't. But it all worked out in God's plan, and you know the rest of this, my story. So, yes. Any other stories? Mr. Smith.
Okay, so this is a story of the panty raid that went so wrong on so many levels. So it's my freshman year. It's pretty much the end of fall semester. I think finals is probably like the very next week. So I'm in the... shout out to the lobby of Harkness Hall studying. And this random nigga just walks behind me and just goes, panty raid meeting outside 5 minutes, we're all black. And just goes to random people saying it and then walks away. And I'm just like, what the fuck? But of course, listeners, what did Brother X and them say? You know, when it comes to activities, you at least got to be present and get the experience. So what did I do? My young, naive 18-year-old ass walked upstairs, put on all black, and then walked outside. Listeners, we were meeting outside at on a lawn that was lit. Okay, now I know what y'all thinking. Mr. Smith, why would y'all meet there if you're wearing all black and you're on lights where people can see you? Listeners, we were 18. We ain't know no better. We were stupid. But anywho,
hold on. That reminds me of that scene from Django where they all got the whiteness on the horses. It's like, what are we doing here? Like, do we have to use the masks? Wear the mask? No. Well, my wife did this whole hard job making sure that they wear these masks. We all appreciate your wife and all her hard work. This time we'll go without the mask, and next time we'll go with our mask and all regalia. If you haven't seen that scene, it is pure fucking comedy gold.
Oh, absolutely. So one of the guys gets on the little stage, whatever, and says, all right, y'all, the GA is working with us. She's going to set up her own girls. There's a side door that she's going to crack open so that way the alarm doesn't tick. Everybody is going to go in. Three people to a room.
I know exactly what dorm this was. Oh, yeah. My dorm.
Oh, yes.
My principal dorm. Yes. Motherfuckers.
Look, the Hogwarts. They took a trip to Hogwarts.
Three people to a room. Two guys take care of the women. One girl goes in, one guy goes in, gets the panties. You in, you out. Everybody cool? Cool. And then we leave. As we're walking, logic starts to kick in. I said, hold up. Why the hell would the GA set up her own girls? And then I said, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and bypass them and go on the waterfront. So I walk in the waterfront and, you know, I run into some of my other friends who apparently coincidentally were wearing all black. Told them what was going on. There was three of them. They go in with them. The girl that they were with was at another dorm, was part of another dorm. So I said, look, you my alibi. If the cops come, we went to Burger King. I got the number 5. You got the number 6 with cheese. And then we're walking back to the dorm. Cool, cool. We stood on the opposite side and watched them all go in. They went in. Within about 3 minutes, they're all running back out. I said, God damn, y'all are efficient. All of a sudden, I hear them say, fuck that. We ain't no bitches. We ain't all that. We gonna get them. Everybody get your ass back in there. And I said, y'all some dumbasses. Listeners, what they didn't realize was the GA set them up. When they told them that the GA was gonna set the girls up, the GA told the girls what was happening. So what did the girls do? Number one, they pretty much locked their doors so the dudes couldn't get into either room, even if they got past them to get the panties. Number two, they put lotion on the stairs so everybody would be busting their ass to go up the stairs. Number three, they hit them with everything that they had. Baby powder, lotion, bars of soap. Somebody used a digital camera, took pictures of them. It was a lot of, you know, stuff. Some people put some stuff in some socks and started beating dudes with it. It was hilarious. You know, this goes on for another 3 minutes, and then come to find out, the cops come. So I said, well, got my alibi. So I'm really watching the cops chase niggas everywhere. And there's this fat cop, not Bullet, but another one, that literally got on his walkie-talkie and said, 1024, there's a failed panty raid requesting backup. Gets off his radio, looks up at the fire escape, and sees 6 niggas coming down and yells, freeze. He goes up to the top of the fire escape, handcuffs 3 of them, gets the rest of them, and just says, y'all walking down. Now, he's in the back of the lineup. The dude in the front, as soon as his foot touched the ground off the fire escape, this nigga takes off running with his hands zipped behind his back. Now, everybody on this podcast and those that went to Hampton know we have this nice smile, omen called Ogden Circle. And, and there was this myth that we never wanted to test, which says if you cross Ogden Circle at any point in your tenure before the day before your graduation, you will not graduate on time. Listeners, this nigga ran straight across that circle. What he didn't realize was there was a cop behind Ogden that saw him and tackled him in the middle of the circle. Needless to say, he didn't graduate on time, and by the time the thing was over, my alibi decided to walk back into her dorm, and I said, oh shit, I still got to get across campus, and I'm wearing all black.
I'm in danger.
Listeners, remember when they said know all your routes on campus? When I told you I walked all the way down to the goddamn convocation center, banged right across that, and it took the back way to get to the dorm, got into my dorm, looked at my GA looked at me, and said, get your ass upstairs. I didn't see you. And I went to bed.
You hit a left.
Nigga, you walked right. All the way around the campus.
Oh, you absolutely.
Hit another left, hit another right. With the
one lucky, yeah. One, that literally, like Kendrick said, one lucky night with the homies. That was me.
Oh, man. So that, let's see. There's so many things. What's another great one? One other thing I'll tell you is, as you get ready, and we'll probably do another episode on this, because, you know, we always talk about homecoming. If you are going to do homecoming, make sure you know what your plan is ahead of time. Please, though, ahead of time. If you're going to say a party, it's like heaven on earth. make sure you have an actual ride. Don't be like Brother X, who couldn't make it to the party. I was mad because my ride couldn't make it. Queen C, if you say that you went to that party, I'm going to throw something at you through this to the Zoom call.
No, I was busy off campus. Yeah. Anyway.
Oh, you was off. Okay.
Yeah, I was just gonna say because we're giving advice to freshmen, and you're talking about, you know, being at places at a time and manner. This includes curfew. Make sure you have your ride set and prepared, or if you're walking, that you leave in a timely manner so that you make it back to your dorm on time. Because, baby, the curfew run life, let me tell you something. Now, you want a story. I got a story. We got back to campus. Now, mind you, curfew is like 1 o'clock. It's a Saturday. Went to a party way off campus. We walked there, realized we needed to get a taxi to get back. All of a sudden, two dudes hop in, tell us, this all right. We're like, look, we ain't got time. We're trying to make it back to campus, whatever. So it's literally me and six dudes in a taxi. Now, four of the dudes I knew. I came to the party with them. They were my brothers. Dudes tell them, park in front of Harkness. Mind you, I lived in Virginia Cleveland, which is across the back Hogwarts. Of the campus. Yes, Hogwarts, that Victorian style housing. So they're like, okay, she ain't got to pay because she a lady, but everybody else, y'all got to pay. Y'all got to give up some money. Nigga, we ain't got time for none of this. Y'all hijack, you know what, whatever. We get out the taxi. It is 12:58. I tell my brother, I said, y'all are already at your dorm. Go inside. I'm fine. They're talking about, no, we okay. We gonna make sure you get there. They take off running. Mind y'all, I'm in heels. I run past all of them. I book it through the back of Ogden. I go through the steeple in the chapel. They're like, oh, she got it. She good. We see you at breakfast in the morning. Running. Let me tell y'all something. Freshmen, it's going to be a whole bunch of upperclassmen lined up on those routes that they know you're going to run. And they will cheer you on, but they will laugh at your ass. Needless to say, I made it across the back of the campus, laid in my bed out of breath, 12:59. Don't ask me how.
By the grace of God. Just know.
I was gone.
It's like the movie ATL. You better run. You can stumble. You can trip. But you can't fall, because if you fall while running back to the dorm for curfew, people will end up in the school newspaper the next day. Teacher Bay.
So, yes, I do have a story that I remember for first semester freshman year. I happened to be a part of Twitchell Twin Setups. And
hey, sister dorm.
I remember that first year. I don't think she's still living, but I love Miss Bandy, our dorm mother. And there were some girls that we had our little dorm meeting. She told us not to stay out late. I just want y'all to know y'all got y'all curfew. She would always let us know, look, don't go out there smelling yourself. So, so there's a couple of girls that I hung with in the dorm, and I didn't go with them I think they were going to Walmart and some were going to go get their stomachs pierced. And I didn't happen to go with them. I don't know what I did, but me and my other friend, we chose to do something different. So I remember though, we were all going to meet up because we heard there was a party in the harbors. So I'm like, oh, I want to go to the harbors. That's where the upperclassmen are. Oh my gosh, we got an invite. So I'm like, oh, us freshmen about to be in there. And then something told me, I don't know, you might not want to go there because you might not make it back in time. Well, I'm glad me and my friend, we didn't listen, but the other girls happened to go to the harbors. Well, did they make it back on time for curfew? No, they did not. So, matter of fact, they stayed out and did not come back till the next day.
Oh, they was brave.
Exactly, because they were scared. So they never came. So I don't know. I'm just assuming they stayed in the harbors. And the next day, oh, Lord, we had a dorm meeting. Miss Bandy was just like, everybody, come meet down here. We having a meeting. I mean, she gave us the full talk. I felt like this lady was our mother. I don't know which girls was it, but y'all better come out and tell me who it is now. I mean, she was going in. She told us, ain't no boy around here on this campus. Have a golden penis.
Say what?
Say what?
Say what?
Say what?
Say
what? What?
Say what?
He fell out. She said, don't let them get you in trouble. And I was like, all of us were snickering, like, oh my gosh, she said the P word. I mean, I will never forget that day. And I'm like, the girls ended up confessing, and we did have to stay on all of us. We did have to come back early.
Early curfew?
Yeah, I had an early curfew. But I was like, oh, okay, that's not that bad. We just knew that the time was coming where they were going to lift the curfew for the second semester. So we were just hoping she wouldn't extend it. So, man, I'll never forget that.
I got, need to stop thinking so loud because I already know where you're going.
I got two things. One, our freshman class was so bad, we had a dorm that couldn't even get off curfew the second damn semester. Shout out James Hall, the ghetto.
The ghetto?
And two, was your dorm director related to the dorm director at Harkness? Because...
We don't leave that alone.
Shout out to the Reverend because he says so.
Mr. Cullen?
Yes, he said some suspect shit. He told that one boy, and if you don't have my money when I ask for it, I'm going to take it out your backside.
Oh, hell no.
He said, hey, don't have no girl in the room, because if your roommate in there, you in there, and the girl in there, I'm going to assume you're... What?
Yeah, go ahead and leave that part. All right. All right. Just know, honestly, it's just crazy that curfew, fun times. Realize that any friends or relationships that you develop on your first semester, there is a 90% chance you will not be with those friends or that relationship by second semester. As a general rule of thumb, I'm not saying that it won't work out. I won't say we don't believe in black love and all those things. But you are 18 years old. You don't know what you like yet. You might like a big booty and smile now, but then you like a girl that be in the books next semester. I mean, she could have a big booty and smile and be in the books, but that's a rare case. You got to find you one of those. I found mine. But we're not talking about that right now. She's not here. Mr. Smith.
And I just want to make sure that's stated. They actually do say, and Brother X can attest to this, they actually stated it at our freshman our ceremony that we are officially freshmen, where they'll say, look to your left and look to your right. That person will not be next to you on graduation day, whether it's finances, whether it's grades or anything else. That person will probably not be next to you during at graduation time. They
that
were
person
right.
was me. That person was me.
We weren't going to vote in. that was redacted. We had sealed the case files. But yeah. Honestly, just be on the lookout for that. Just continue to allow yourself to experience new opportunities, try new food, check out music. Stay on campus. Your first semester, do not always go home every weekend. If you are that sprung on going home every weekend, then you probably need to reconsider where you're going to school at. That's just my two cents. Teacher Bear, and then we'll go ahead and wrap things up. Tips and tricks, then we'll wrap it up.
My tip would be to those freshmen, just follow the rules. You know what? Looking back on it, I really like those times where we did have the curfew, because those are the times we made like the most memories, and we had to figure out what we're going to do, because everything's closed, ain't nothing open. But really, honestly, just follow the rules. Keep your head in the books because you want to make sure that you graduate. That's what you're there for. So I agree. And one of the, I guess I might be overstepping, but lessons that I learned is learn how to manage your money or your tuition, your financial aid. I hated going to take care of that stuff, but if you want to keep going and you don't have a scholarship, keep searching for those to make sure you're good for the next following semester. But yeah.
Because you got cats that came fall semester, didn't come back spring semester, still had stuff in their rooms. Yeah, I guess we'll finish up with a tip from each person as our transparent moment. Mrs. Smith, you got any last minute tips for our listeners?
Understand that everything that you've been accustomed to growing up in high school is not going to be the same when you're in college. Case in point, if you come from a well-off family where like you have like a maid or a butler, you didn't have to worry about anything, understand that that's not going to be your college life and don't complain about it. That is the stuff that builds character. As Teacher Bay said, the curfew times is where people got most creative, where people would, you know, oh, instead of me being able to go out and do stuff, which granted, for the record, there was really not that much to do after 11 o'clock anyway in the city of Hampton, but we ain't going to go there. But
except order Chinello's and play Spades until
3. Oh, I can't wait for homecoming to go to Chinello's. But you know, those are the times where you will make, as Teacher Ben said, those lifelong memories where you can remind yourself, oh man, remember we were so bored, we did this. And it's those crazy times that will always stick with you. So just understand that, be able to be flexible and have a positive mindset, because not everything's going to go your way. You're going to have times where, oh, I don't have enough money, or oh, I got this, but you will find some very creative ways to get around stuff in college.
Yeah. Quincy, any other tips?
Yeah, find your hustle. Going off what Mr. Smith said, I ended up being a pool shark my freshman year, and that's how I would get money. If I wasn't playing pool, I was playing spades, playing cards, Bidwiz. I picked up all different types of games and just ran them for money. Not supposed to do that. It's illegal, but shh, don't tell nobody. But as my transparent moment, I'm going to do mine in memory of a beloved friend of ours, and I'm going to say, always get the $20 bottle of Smirnoff. Because, oh my God, is this the $20 bottle?
Shout out to him. May he rest in power. I guess my tip would be, fellas, keep your nose closed and not wide open. If you raise up old school, you know what that means. If you run around here nose wide open, they hitting the books. You ain't hitting nothing. You gonna be hitting the out by five real quick. Just know what it is. Mrs. Smith?
And then last but not least, and Teacher Bay actually brought this up to me. Take your first semester very seriously with your grades. That is the biggest impact of your GPA. You could, you know, have a 4.0 your first semester and then kind of trickle within the threes or whatever, and you still will rock out with a great GPA to graduate. But if you start wrong, it's going to be really hard to catch up. So that first year, really take it seriously and strive for the best grades you can. Plus, those are usually all the introductory courses, so it kind of helps you to really bring the best of your GPA to start off, because once you get to them 200, 300, 400 level courses, them bitches is hard.
You ain't never lied. But with that being said, guys, we're going to bring this episode to a close. Thank you to all of our guests, Teacher Bay, Queen C, Mr. Smith, Queen C, Steph Stool. sorry, I had to get one last one in before the episode ends. If you ever want to share your stories or any tips you want to give to any of our potential HBCU students, you can always check us out on our social media at the TNT Pod 123 on Twitter, Truth and Transparency Pod on Instagram, Truth and Transparency Pod on TikTok. You have the Truth and Transparency Podcast on Facebook, and you can always email us your stories, tips, or questions at our email at truthandtransparencypod123@gmail.com. And for myself, for the culture scientists who couldn't be with us tonight, as well as Mr. Smith, Teacher Bay, Queen C, the Lakers' hopes and dreams.
Stop the cap. Stop the cap right now. Stop the cap. No bullshit, bro.
If this podcast gets no bigger than what we are right now, I'm sorry, I had to get one more. I'm sorry, I have one left in the chamber. If this podcast gets no bigger than what it is right now, they are forever grateful. We are forever grateful. With that being said, we'll catch you guys next time. Peace.
I love my H-I-U.
Rock the blue and white. Rock the blue and white. Stop and let everybody do it.